Lord had delivered thee today into my hand in the cave, and some bade me kill thee, but mine eye spared thee, and I said, I will not put forth mine hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Again, going through here, we see parallels between David's conduct and our Lord. Our Lord stood before kings, and he had the power to destroy them instantly, had he so chosen, but he did not. When it says that he came and was subject to the law, it wasn't only the law of God, but the laws of man. Now, there were some in his day that sought to overthrow the king, just like here, these servants of David said, well, let's get this thing done. Let's just overthrow it, and then we'll be at peace. And the Lord told them they didn't know what spirit they were of, thinking that way. Honor to whom honor is due. And waiting on the Lord, David knew that the day would come when the Lord would remove Saul, but that was not his to do. We live in a generation where life is not valued. If it's a unborn child, kill it. It doesn't matter. Get it out of the way if it's inconvenient. That's the way men think. Or if you don't like what someone's doing, shoot and kill it. That's the natural mind.
So the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? Our Lord did not partake of the Passover because of any personal sin or need for that Passover, but rather as the fulfillment of the law. He was to obey the law and every jot and tittle. So up until the cross, he was observant, just like we saw Joseph subjected himself to the master's rule and household. Christ subjected himself to the law. That's what he came to fulfill. And he said, verse 18, go into the city to such a man and say unto him, the master saith, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. This would have been someone that was the Lord's, on whom he had already set his favor, for whom he would pay the debt. And it was the Lord who determined that he would come to his house that day and be his guest, just like Zacchaeus. But the part that I would point out is my time is at hand, and the fullness of the time. All those thousands of years of slaughtering the Passover lambs every year now came down to this one time where the Lord would fulfill it and partake of it one last time, the Passover, the old Jewish Passover, one last time. After that, it's to be no more. I know there's congregations around here, around Passover time, they actually bring in Jewish rabbis and people to come and do a little Seder, they call it, where they get the Passover out and show people how to partake of the Passover, how they did it back in the day. There's nothing in that old Passover for any of us or for the Lord's. It's what Christ accomplished.
And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy. Wrath, on the vessels of wrath, riches of his glory. Those are riches of Christ, because Christ is God's glory. On the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. People try to argue around and say, well, he doesn't really fit any vessel to destruction. What I'm reading says he does. Vessels of wrath fitted to destruction. Vessels of mercy afore prepared unto glory. Even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also the Gentiles. See, this is God's Israel. As he saith also in Hosea, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. He's talking there about Gentile nations whom God purposed to save, passed by the Jews and brought in these Gentiles. Isaiah also cried concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, notice, a remnant shall be saved. Think about Noah and the ark. There are only 8 persons saved alive. You say, why were they saved? Well, it says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's it.